and a sincere word of thanks to those who helped and made it possible for us to get away and go to our Bob Tucker's memorial service. It was a blessing to be able to go there, and as we shared with a few people at the beginning, we're very glad to be back. It was kind of touch and go there on the highway for a while, and the Lord heard your prayers and brought us safely to port. All right, before we pray, we have a wonderful place in the Scripture to be. It's in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we want to look at another one of these God is able passages. Now, this is appropriate for our discussions already this evening about finances and money and giving and ability to give, because this is what this whole section of 2 Corinthians is on. It's on Christian giving or Christian liberality, if you will. And let's just read the verse, and then we'll get into it. But it's chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and it's the verse before us is verse 8, which says, "And God is able," there's our thought, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you might have an abundance for every good deed." And so he is urging upon the Corinthians in this section to finish up. They had said they were going to give to this collection for the saints. Paul was gathering monies for the relief of the suffering saints in Jerusalem. And he'd already been collecting funds from the churches there up north, and now as he addresses these people, these believers down on the south part of the peninsula, the Grecian peninsula, he says, okay, let's do this. Now, they have the example of the believers in Macedonia to help them, encourage them. There's several things that would move a soul to give, and we're thinking of the cause of Christ. And for them, it was the example of the churches up in Macedonia. They said their northern neighbors had been doing something extraordinary. If you look in chapter 8, we read this in verse 1. "Brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty..." So they didn't have much, did they? "But it overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." This would be the churches up there. Would be Philadelphia, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, and whatever else was scattered up in there. That was the region of which he speaks. And so they have that example. And if you hear of someone doing something in the name of Christ, you sort of want to say, well, me too, don't you? This is what he is appealing to. Next is the very example of our Lord himself. Go on down in the same chapter, chapter 8, he says in verse 9, "You know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And the great example for all is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glory, humbled himself, and became poor for us, that we, through that act, might become rich. And so he says, now look to him. Not just look to the Christians to the north, but look to the God of the Christians, the one that so inspired them, and may he inspire you. If you look at chapter 9 now, we have then the example of nature. It's over there in chapter 9, verse 6. "Now this I say, that he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Now I know he's making a spiritual application, but it's based upon a natural law. If you throw three seeds out per acre, what are you going to get? Not much. driving around the Cotton Belt, which starts a little bit this side of Dallas, based on what we saw, and then goes up north past it, up towards Wichita Falls, we saw that the farmers had been sowing bountifully, and they were reaping bountifully. They had great big cotton bales. You've seen these rolls of hay, and these are twice as big. Big rolls of cotton. Looked good enough to jump into, but they had sown bountifully, and they had reaped bountifully. And Paul is saying, now that's true in the Spirit. And so there's that example. Then he says next, you have your own reputation to kind of goad you along. Chapter 9, verse 2. I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia, that's where they are, the southern part of the Greek peninsula, that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. And he's going to go on to say, well, you better finish this up because it's going to be kind of embarrassing if you don't. But think upon this. He says, your zeal in this has galvanized the church there up to the north, and it's inspired everybody. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? To think my life is counting for something and our actions in the kingdom have repercussions and ripples that are going out. And that's just, it's encouraging. And you say, well, praise the Lord. He's using what we're doing to bless others and encourage others. Well, let's finish. But in all of this, and after all of this, we have the great promise. And there's other things in here too. I've sort of skipped to the do going through these two chapters here, I admit. But you have the promise where we started. And this is the great thing to encourage the heart. He says in verse 8 of chapter 9, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. What he's saying is God can make things abound to you so that you have enough to live by and then enough to give away. You have more than you need. In other words, you're holding your cup out and Christ pours and it fills up and he keeps pouring and it starts spilling out. Have you done that with a measuring cup recently? Maybe not on purpose, but or whatever, you're filling up your glass of water and it just pours out and it keeps and it goes wherever it goes. And Paul says, God can so bless you. He's able to bless you. Now, I'm drawn to this thought. He is able to make grace abound to you. Now, we understand that in the spiritual realm, grace is that which takes paupers and makes them into giants, right? It makes them rich. And we think of the grace of our Lord Jesus, as we read in the earlier chapter, and how he gives himself for us who do not deserve it. And the whole idea of grace is that it's unmerited, it's unwarranted, it's just a gift, it's given to us. Now, we say, oh yeah, that's how it works in the spiritual realm, because we can't do anything for ourselves. But Paul says, look, as in the spiritual, so in the physical. And he's talking about paupers who have given above and beyond themselves, and so they have enough and it spills over. That's grace, isn't it? And what he is saying is that God is as really as God is in control of the spiritual realm, he is also in control of the physical realm. He's in control of your boss. He's in control of your employer. He's in control of your fields if you're a farmer. He's in control of everything that touches and amounts to what's in your pockets right now. God is in control of these things. I want to read you some verses that corroborate that. Listen to Moses. If you want the reference, it's Deuteronomy 28. But this is Moses saying to his countrymen shortly before he goes to glory himself, it shall be, he says, if you diligently obey the Lord, your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you'll obey the Lord your God. Listen. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Does that cover it all? It should, but he goes on. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And what he's picturing there is God can touch everything and bless everything for these Jews. He can bless their crops. He can bless their herds. He can bless their families, their incomes, their houses, everything. He can bless them. And so he goes on, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Isn't that sweet? Would you like some illustrations of this? In Genesis 26, we read an interesting story, and it's just and it's gone, but it tells an event in the life of Isaac. And we read this about Isaac, that, well, after a time of famine, it says that Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became very rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. And then let me read to you the story of one of the ancient patriarchs. His name was Job. You know Job. You know what he went through. You know how he lost this herd and this herd and this flock, and he lost his children, and he lost his home, and he lost his health. And he's a broken man sitting on an ash heap, and you look at that and you'd say, well, the work of a lifetime, the accumulation of a lifetime has been just wiped out. There is nothing left. Let me read to you what the Bible says. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him, and they comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money, and each a golden ring. Now that's not what accounts for the coming wealth that is described. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And by the way, it finally dawned on me, here is the scriptural reference for count your blessings, name them one by one, or name them thousand by thousand, if you can count that high. So the Lord increases Job twofold. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he named the first this, and the second that, and the third something else. And in that all that land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters. And their father gave him inheritance among their brothers. And then he lived 140 more years. So, all that to come behind this simple statement, God is able. He is able to make all grace abound to you. Now, when Paul writes that, I believe he writes it first to individuals, to you, to you, to you, to you. He's able to make it abound to you. And then what that amounts to is the church is a collection of yous, isn't it? Y-O-U-S. We come together with the blessing of God, that God is blessing our congregation. God is blessing the church so that, as he's encouraged them, we don't sow sparingly, we sow bountifully, and then we reap. Well, Isaac will tell us that God can make us reap 100-fold. Now, this isn't a lesson And I hope it doesn't sound like this. This is not intended to say, hey, let's put God to the test. Let's give and see what he does in return. That's not the idea here. We're told that if we give, he will help us. And he will give, make all grace abound to us. That is the gift of God coming to us. And the point that we're trying to say this evening is just this. He's able. He's able. And so we come to the one who men have sought before, and he could take a couple of fish and five loaves, wouldn't it? What is he able to do with that? And we're talking about the natural realm, and the supernatural breaks into the natural and amplifies it. And so 5,000 people are fed, and then there are 12 baskets left over of fragments. Or he can say, now put your hook in that lake out there and take up the first fish, and there's going to be tax money for you and me. God is able. God is able. And he is able to make all grace abound to you, to us, that always having all sufficiency in everything, we have an abundance for every good deed. That's something to pray about. Bless God for. Let's pray.